Hi, James and Matt. I'm Tarja. Welcome to True Metal IT. Our main topic today is your upcoming third solo album, Impermanent Resonance, which will come out in Europe in a couple of days. So how are the feelings right now?
Doing well. We're getting great feedback. It's amazing, right, James?
No, absolutely. I mean, Matt and I and the other guys, we're ecstatic about this release. We feel that, you know, I personally, and I'm pretty sure Matt, you'll agree. I think it's the best material to date, as far as you know, the albums that we've put out recently and previously to Impermanent Resonance. I feel that Impermanent Resonance is definitely our best to date material. So, you know, I am extremely excited and stoked with its release coming next Monday. And I feel that everyone else in the band feels the exact same way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. And your last album, Static Impulse, was released 3 years ago. How this new effort differs from it?
I think the new record, Impermanent Resonance, is a lot more dynamic.
Yes.
There's a lot more peaks and valleys throughout the music, and there's a larger focus on vocal melodies and hooks. The song arrangements are tighter, and overall, you know, larger focus on production.
Yeah.
The keyboards are more atmospheric and prominent. So we bought that aspect back. If I had to sum it up really quickly, I would just say it's a much more dynamic record.
Okay, great. Talking about the album title, Impermanent Resonance, why this choice?
Well, you know, Matt and I always discuss, you know, I think that stands true for any artist or band that's releasing an album. You know, the title is usually a reflection of the lyrical content.
Yes.
With this album, Matt and I, as previous albums, we always discuss what we think would sum up what we were trying to say throughout this album. When I listen to an album, any given album, it really is a strong indication of where the of where people are at that particular time in their lives. And in this instance, it's about where Matt and I are as human beings. Our lyrical content, we share the lyrical duties.
Yes.
And I think the common theme throughout the lyrical content on this album was about, you know, as a human being, there's struggles, there's a lot of pain that comes with life, there's a lot of just adversarial elements that we need to contend with and we need to conquer. And there are moments of bliss and victory and euphoria, and I think, you know, our lyrics include this. So with Impermanent Resonance, impermanent meaning that nothing is permanent, you're in constant change.
Yeah.
That's basically, you know, what these lyrics of ours are saying, is that we are in constant transformation as people. And it's what resides with us, which is where resonance comes from. It's what resides with us currently might not necessarily stand true or have any relevance in the nearby future. So Impermanent Resonance is dealing with who we are as human beings, and that we are in constant change, and that within our existence are a lot of challenges, ups and downs, dynamics. And so we feel that the title best sums up where we went with our lyrical content.
Oh, great. Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree while listening to the tracks. And in fact, you already replied to my next question about the songs and topics. But while writing the songs, what sensations you have? I mean, do you need a certain situation, state of mind, and atmosphere to compose your music?
Our approach to writing songs has always been, you know, just spontaneous. I mean,
yes.
there's no preconceived ideas or anything when the writing begins. It's just whatever comes out is coming from the heart. At least that's the way, you know, that I like to write. You know, it's just a natural flow of whatever is pouring from my heart at the moment.
Yes.
And building on that. James?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's what the only way that you can stay consistent and retain and solidify that which you've already created is by being completely honest with yourself when it comes time to write new material. And I think that Matt, being the main composer of this band, you know, he tends to him and myself and whoever happens to be involved in the musical writing, you're consciously aware of who you are as a writer, what you've created, you know, the direction of the music, the sound, the styles that seem to inspire and influence you tend to, in themselves, be consistent because that's who you are at that particular time and will be for some time. But it's a matter of taking all those influences and inspirations and maintaining a consistency or a continuity, but at the same time creating something that seems fresh, new, and innovative. And I think that, you know, we've achieved that definitely with Impermanent Resonance. It belongs with what we've already created, but I think it also, to me, is the most mature and cohesive material that I think that we've done to date.
So the album and the songs in it becomes sort of a mirror of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely what any band is. It's a mirror of who they are as artists.
Okay, great. Listen, the album was once again mixed and mastered with Jens Borgen, and this time there was also Tony Lindgren. What can you tell me about the studio sessions? In general,
well, number one, working with Jens is such an amazing thing because he totally gets our music. He totally understands it, and he totally, when he does receive it from us, the raw tracks, he knows exactly what to do with very little input from us. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to go through. James and I were not there with him, present at the mix and mastering session, but we didn't really need to be, honestly. You know, he knows exactly what to do, and he's such a gifted and talented guy. You know, we can just sort of give him the stuff and let him do what he does. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, and in addition to the second part of your question, I mean, Matt said it all as far as Tony and Jens, you know, their involvement in what they achieved, you know, in the mix and mastering end of things. As far as the recording, you asked about the studio for the recording, and we all recorded separately. With Static Impulse, Matt, Peter, and Marco were together, and Ray, I'm sorry, I don't want to forget Ray, they were together in Sweden and recorded those songs in the same environment, in the same room. With this album, you know, we recorded all separately. It just happened to be the way that it worked out, you know, the schedules and so on. Many things involved always when it comes time for recording. So we all recorded, like Peter recorded in Sweden, Marco recorded in Italy, and Ray recorded in Arizona. Matt recorded in California, and I recorded in Toronto.
Oh, yes. It's global, globally made.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And this time there was also the former Soil Walk guitarist Peter Witcher to contribute songwriting and studio guitars. What can you tell me about his input to this album?
Well, Peterson put was important, very very important on this record. Mm-hmm. He provided his fingerprint, his personality, especially in the guitar riffs.
Yes.
What's so amazing about working with Peter is that where his headspace and where he's at musically was so in line with where we were coming from and where we were headed.
Yeah.
Including him in the collaboration on this new record was such a seamless thing. And he's such a gifted and talented guy. And the great thing about him is his perspective and not only his technical ability as a guitar player, but his sense of melody and sense of song structure. It was just an amazing thing to collaborate with him, and his contributions were awesome. I mean, we're talking about like the opening riff of Agony or some of the guitar stuff happening in I Will Not Break or Letting Go or Destined to Burn. I mean, his fingerprints are all over the record.
Great, great. Sorry, James, if you want to add something, go ahead. I mean, without seeing
you. Matt said it all.
Okay,
I will stick my voice in when I feel
whenever you want to add to it.
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Artwork was created by Gustavo Sanchez. It's quite nice. I mean, very, very positive and very catchy. What can you tell me about the idea behind it?
Well, the way that Matt and I have always worked, and we worked like this in the past, and we work like this with Impermanent Resonances, we always communicate with who happens to be the artist of that particular album. We communicate with them, and in this case, it was Gustavo Sanchez. We wanted somehow the being cognizant of the lyrical content to somehow bring that imagery to the forefront of the emotional spectrum that was going on within these lyrics.
Yeah.
So it was for Gustavo to interpret our words and to kind of make an image out of those words, the imagery being what you're seeing in front of you, the colors representing the hues or colors representing the emotional spectrum or the emotional energy fields that go on within each and every one of us.
Yes.
And so it was a different approach. It was something that is more contemporary or even at times it would seem futuristic, but I think it was a really cool interpretation of the human emotion that we all experience, but being put into color, basically, and in human form without any definitive features being distracting from that focus.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, he did a brilliant job. Both Matt and I were
I agree.
Yeah.
I like it very much because I'm one that is looking very carefully at the album covers because trying to find many aspects from them. So far, you have released a couple of tracks for streaming, Agony and Back on the Ground. You already mentioned that the feedback has been good and positive. But concerning these two tracks, what your fans and critics have said about them?
Well, our fans have liked it. The tracks are almost at two different ends of the spectrum. I mean, you have Agony, which is more of a full-on sort of melodic death metal type of track, where Back in the Ground is more of a radio-friendly, more laid-back kind of track. But it does build up and get sort of in your face later on in the track. The reaction has like we mentioned has been positive, even with our fans. It's It actually seems even more positive than on Static Impulse.
Yes.
I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I keep shaking my head every day, you know, hearing people's reactions and reading comments and stuff. It's just like, wow,
great.
I can't believe it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The response is something that Matt and I stay close contact with one another, because we're always monitoring how the fans are reacting. And as Matt mentioned, you know, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. So it's great. It's, you know, it's the ultimate compliment for Matt and I and the other guys in the band, and it's exciting, and it's obviously what our goal is to put something out there that everyone becomes completely excited about, and creates a huge buzz because of it.
And it seems to me that you have found your very own original sound with this album, which is quite different from the Dream Theater. But how would you describe your sound?
I would describe our sound as a metal foundation with a very strong melodic and pop sensibility. The marriage of those two, I think, would be the essence of our sound. What do you think, James?
No, absolutely. I think those are the two predominant elements that are within our music, as well as, and that in itself creates such great dynamics on the albums, and it always has. And even more so, you know, like there's atmospheric elements that come into this music as well. And, you know, as Matt has mentioned in the past and in other interviews, the priority is the melody, the vocal melody in that. And so, you know, obviously I'm going to be extremely excited and stoked about being a part of something that is musically driven with that element being the priority. And I think because of Matt being so focused and so concentrated on the vocal melody, it's really what has been responsible for creating a big part of our sound. I mean, obviously, you know, everything is necessary, everything is integral, but I think what we are continuing to do, and it was really, I think, and Matt and I have said this in several interviews, it was really introduced, this sound that we created and this sound that we now are becoming more and more known for, was introduced with Elements of Persuasion. And I think since then, I mean, even from Elements of Persuasion to today, we've gone light years musically.
Yeah.
And there's more cohesiveness. There's more maturity. There's more conviction and just acknowledgement that this is exactly how we want to, like a comfort zone, that this is who we are and this is exactly how we want to express ourselves. So I think, there's no doubt about it. I think that it is without doubt that we created our own sound, and that in itself is extremely exciting, because every band, if you don't have your own identity or own sound, then you get lost in the shuffle, or it's irrelevant, basically.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. I fully agree on that. Will we see you on tour to support this album? I mean, still before that, you, James, will head to the tour with the Dream Theater. I mean, before at the beginning of 2014.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, because Dream Theater, as you, I'm sure you're aware, has a new record coming out shortly, and they're gearing up to start a promotional campaign for that. So there really isn't a window of opportunity for us to go out and do this and tour for this. But let me say that we are all fired up and very proud of this record, and we would love to go out and perform this music live, not only because we're so proud of Impermanent Resonance, but also very proud of Static Impulse, and unfortunately we weren't able to tour to support that. So I think it's inevitable that we will. It's just a matter of waiting for the right window for us to go out and do that. It makes more sense for us to do that after the Dream Theater machine winds down, after their tour.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take this out. It's like Matt said, we'll probably have to wait until after Dream Theater's next world tour has wrapped up and is finished.
Yes.
At that point, we can be seriously looking at doing an extensive tour with the with this material, with this band.
Yes, and
but it will happen. We just have to be patient.
Yes, we tried to, because I was going to say that I do hope that after Dream Theater's tour, we will see you here in Italy as well, because I happen to know many of your fans over here. So,
we do hope.
And by the way, what are your personal favorite bands that you are listening to right now? And are they also the bands from where your personal influences come?
You want to start, James?
Well, me personally, I mean, I don't think that bands that I'm listening to, I mean, would necessarily be responsible for influencing me or having anything to do with where I want to go musically. There is a little bit of that, but I think it would more or less be subconscious. But the bands that, you know, that I'm currently into is... you know, I really love the last Deftones album. I love Muse. I'm into a band called I See Stars and August Burns Red and Bring Me the Horizon right now, Two Door Cinema, Young the Giant, Need to Breathe. You know, that's basically where I'm at this time. There's several more, but, you know, my memory's not... not cooperating at this moment.
Yeah, concentrating to other things. Yes, but that's
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Matt. What take
yes,
it from
what,
here.
What Matt says.
I like Meshuggah. I listen to Meshuggah. I listen to In Flames. I listen to Soil Work.
Yes.
Then I listen to the Backstreet Boys. I listen to Katy Perry. I listen to Kelly Clarkson. It's just two complete opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you have a split personality, Matt.
I know, right? but you know, I get something from all of that.
Oh, of course.
So
I think that has a lot to do with it. Is, you know, more importantly, Matt being the main composer of all this. You know, a lot of it is a reflection of where he's coming from, you know, musically and what his influences and inspiration. I don't mean to be speaking on your behalf, by the way, Matt.
I think a lot of
our sound and identity comes from the fact that, you know, somebody like Matt, first of all, his talent is unlimited. I mean, he's extremely innately gifted, there's no doubt about it, but he's able to, I think what's the beautiful thing here with this music is there's always a balance between the elements that we include in our music, and if you can't create a balance, then you become too one-dimensional. And I think the beautiful thing about our music is that it is a global, if I can say so, a global expression. And the influences are nicely and beautifully presented because of that.
Yes.
And I think that in itself has established this very dynamic feel to our music and relevant feel, contemporary feel. And it is because of, you know, the extremes that Matt himself listens to, as well as, you know, the others. I mean, obviously we all have to feel... genuinely attracted to this kind of stylistic approach.
We are nearly at the end, And I wanted to ask something about Italy, as I know that many of our True Metal readers, they are interested to know about your feelings about Italian audience. Have you some memories when you have been playing here and so on?
Oh yeah, I mean, my memories are unbelievable with Italy from the very first time that I played there in 1992. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I mean, they're extremely passionate about music. They take their music very serious, but they embrace it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And you see that each and every time that you play live. The fact that, really, to a certain extent, I could go out there, point the microphone at the audience, and walk off the stage and have them sing the entire concert. They're just unbelievably passionate. The reception each and every time has been, it's overwhelming. We always get extremely excited. I mean, we're excited to be touring, period, but Italy, you just know that everyone is going to be on fire. They're going to be at the top. I mean, even when Matt and I toured the solo band with Elements of Persuasion, I mean, Matt, you saw the response. You saw...
Well, that was the best, for me, that was the best memory of the tour, honestly, with Italy. Italy was easily the best memory of the tour. And it's just because, like James said, I'm so passionate and... when we're playing. And it's infectious, and it's definitely a joy, and it's tough.
Global expression
that when the time comes for us to do another tour, that we will definitely make Italy a priority.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
I do hope so.
Absolutely. And beyond that, I mean, the people are beautiful. The food is delicious, and
yes,
the wine is
good.
And the wine is incredible.
Yes.
It's world class.
I do know that, and I do agree. And as there is also one Italian guy in your lineup, Marco, so you won't have any problems neither with the language.
Yeah, no, he'll do all our talking.
Oh, great. So he has no time for red wine. So he's doing also the interpreting. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And now I would like to ask, what are your greetings to your fans and our readers, truemetal.it readers, or how would you like to close this interview? Do you want to sing or play something?
Thanks so much for the support and enthusiasm, and I hope that you enjoy the new record, and
yes,
hopefully we'll see you in the future.
Definitely, yes. Yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we appreciate the support, and Italy has always been incredible for us. It goes without say, True Metal has been extremely supportive, and we appreciate it. And like we've been saying, we look forward to when the tour actually does commence, that absolutely... Italy will be on our radar, and we are going to do as many shows as possible throughout Italy when we do get this band out on the road. So looking forward to it. Thanks for the support, and take care.
Thank you, and
yeah.
Thank you, James and Matt, and have a wonderful week awaiting the release, and see you on the road. I count on that.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.